Music Dudu Classical Bedtime presents Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart and the Grey Cloak. The candle on Mozart's piano flickered. Its flame bent sideways as if trying to escape. Outside, the Vienna wind scratched at the window like fingernails on glass. Autumn had come early that year. The streets smelled of wet leaves and wood smoke. Then, a knock at the door. Mozart looked up from his piano. He wasn't expecting anyone. Not at this hour. Not with the sky turning the colour of a bruise. He opened the door and found a stranger standing in the shadows. Tall, silent, wrapped in a grey cloak that seemed to swallow the fading light. The stranger's face was hidden. He didn't give his name. He simply handed Mozart a letter, sealed with dark wax, and disappeared back into the night without a single word. Mozart's hands trembled as he broke the seal. Not from cold, from something he couldn't quite name. The letter contained a strange request. Would Herr Mozart write a requiem? A piece of music for the dead. There was money enclosed, quite a lot of it. But no name, no return address, just the request, and a promise that more money would follow when the work was finished. Who was this stranger in the grey cloak? Why did he hide his face? And why did Mozart feel, deep in his bones, that this music would be different from anything he had ever written? But before we discover the answer, we need to go back. Back to the moment when Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart stopped being a servant and became free. Rushing, restless tune, like a heartbeat that can't slow down, is the beginning of Mozart's Symphony No. 40, one of the most famous pieces of music ever written. A symphony is like a musical journey for an entire orchestra. Violins and cellos, flutes and trumpets, drums and horns, all playing together. Most symphonies have four parts called movements. Each movement has its own mood, like chapters in a book. The first movement might be exciting and fast. The second, slow and dreamy. The third might be like a dance. And the fourth? The big finish, when everything comes together. Mozart wrote 41 symphonies, but many of the greatest ones came from his years in Vienna, the city where he finally stopped taking orders from anyone. Before Vienna, Mozart worked for the Archbishop of Salzburg, a powerful man who paid him a steady salary to write music. Sounds nice, right? A regular paycheck? But the Archbishop treated Mozart like a servant. He told Mozart what to compose, when to compose, and at dinner, Mozart had to sit at the servants' table, below the cooks and the valets, even though he was already the most famous musician in Europe. So in 1781, at 25 years old, Mozart did something almost no musician had ever done. He quit. No more boss, no more orders, no more servants' table. He packed his bags and moved to Vienna, the most musical city in the world, to live by his talent alone. And Vienna welcomed him with open arms. That sparkling music is called Eine kleine Nachtmusik, which means a little night music in German. Mozart wrote it for parties and gatherings where people wanted something elegant and fun. At first, Vienna loved him. Mozart gave concerts in grand palaces. He wrote operas that made people laugh and cry and gasp. His pen didn't just write, it raced. While other composers struggled over a single melody for weeks, Mozart heard entire orchestras in his mind. The silver chirp of the flute, the deep growl of the cellos, all at once, perfectly arranged. He was like a scribe, rushing to catch the notes before they floated away. He married a woman named Constanze. They had children. They were happy. And in the summer of 1788, Mozart did something extraordinary. He wrote three entire symphonies, numbers 39, 40, and 41, in just 6 weeks. The last one, number 41, people call the Jupiter Symphony. It was his final symphony, the peak of the mountain. In the last movement of the Jupiter Symphony, Mozart does something magical. He weaves five different melodies together, all at the same time. Imagine five friends, each telling a different story, but somehow it all makes sense. One melody chases another, then another joins in, then another. It's called a fugue, one of the hardest things to write in all of music. Listen for the way the instruments play tag with each other. You'll hear one melody start, then another instrument picks it up, then another copies it, but changes it a little. They're all talking at once, and it's glorious. Melodies, all weaving in and out. And Mozart made it sound like a game, like the instruments were laughing together. His friend Joseph Haydn, another great composer, once told Mozart's father, "Your son is the greatest composer I have ever known." Haydn wasn't jealous. He was simply in awe. That Jupiter Symphony was the last symphony Mozart would ever write. He was only 32 years old. He had no way of knowing it was the end. Because after the peak of the mountain came the long, slow slide down. Being free had a price. When Mozart worked for the Archbishop, there was always money. Even when he hated every minute. But now? Now he only ate when people paid to hear him play. And people's tastes began to change. The concerts that once sold out started to have empty seats. The gold coins that once clinked in his pockets turned to silence. Mozart moved his family to a smaller apartment. Then a smaller one still. Rooms that smelled of cold stone and candle smoke. He He wrote letters to friends, asking, begging to borrow money. Yet look at his desk. Even when there wasn't enough wood for the fire, his pages were covered with notes. Beautiful notes. Perfect notes. Music that glowed like summer, even in the coldest winter. That melody is called Elvira Madigan now, after a movie that used it. But Mozart didn't give it a fancy name. To him, it was just Tuesday. Just another perfect thing that poured out of his pen. Here's something important about Mozart. He didn't write sad music when he was sad, and happy music when he was happy. His music was bigger than his feelings. It was like he had a window into some other place, a place where everything was balanced and pure and exactly right. Even when life was crumbling around him, the music stayed beautiful. And then the stranger in the grey cloak knocked at his door. Mozart read the letter again and again. A requiem. Music for the dead. Do you know what a requiem is? It's a very special kind of music, written to honour people who have died. Churches play requiems at funerals. The words are in Latin, an ancient language, and they're like prayers, asking for peace and rest. Requiem actually means rest in Latin. The very first words are Requiem Aeternam, eternal rest. Mozart had never written a requiem before, but something about this mysterious request called to him. The grey cloak, the hidden face, the letter sealed with dark wax. He said yes. That music is called the Lacrimosa, which means weeping in Latin. Mozart's own handwriting stops after just 8 measures of the Lacrimosa. 8 measures. And then the pen went still. His hands had begun to tremble. Not from cold. Not from age. He was only 35. Mozart was getting sick. Some days he could barely sit up. Shadows gathered in the corners of his small room. The candles burned low. But he kept working. His student, Franz Süssmayr, sat beside him, and Mozart would hum the melodies, point to the pages, explain exactly how each part should sound. He was teaching Süssmayr to finish what he had started. Mozart knew. Somehow, deep inside, he knew. Listen to this section. It's called the Recordare. 4 solo voices weaving together, like a conversation between friends who trust each other completely. Notice how tender it is, how careful. One voice asks a question, another answers, a third joins in with something new. The words are asking for remembrance. Remember me, they sing. Remember that I tried. Even facing the end of his life, Mozart filled his requiem with moments like that. Moments of extraordinary gentleness. The music doesn't shout or rage. It simply asks. It hopes. it trusts. We never found out who the stranger in the grey cloak really was. Some people say he worked for a count who wanted the music for his own wife's funeral. Others whisper that Mozart believed the stranger was a messenger from somewhere else, come to collect a final sacred work. The truth is, it doesn't matter, because the Requiem wasn't written for one person. It became Mozart's gift to everyone who has ever lost someone they loved. A prayer in music, a hand reaching out across the centuries. On December 5th, 1791, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart closed his eyes for the last time. He was only 35 years old. 35. And in those 35 years, he wrote over 600 pieces of music. Operas, symphonies, concertos, quartets, sonatas, sacred music, dances, songs. 600 miracles. His student Süssmayr finished the Requiem, following Mozart's instructions. And when it was performed, people wept. They still weep today, more than 200 years later. Because here's the remarkable thing. Even Mozart's music for the dead is full of life, full of light, full of that same magical balance that lived inside him from the very first note he ever played. So what can we learn from Mozart and the grey cloak? Maybe this, that freedom has a price, but it might be worth paying. Mozart could have stayed at the servant's table, safe and fed. Instead, he chose to risk everything, to write the music he wanted to write, even when it meant cold rooms and empty pockets. And when a mysterious stranger knocked at his door with an impossible request, Mozart didn't turn away. He picked up his pen, he heard the music in his head, and he wrote it down, note by note, measure by measure, until his trembling hands couldn't write anymore. Then he trusted someone else to carry it forward. Was the clarinet concerto, one of the very last pieces Mozart ever wrote. Can you hear how peaceful it is? How the clarinet sings like a human voice, reaching for something just out of sight. Mozart finished this concerto just weeks before he died, and yet it doesn't sound sad. It sounds like someone who has made peace with the world. Now listen to this. It's called the Ave Verum Corpus. Mozart wrote it a few months before the stranger came knocking. Just 46 notes in the first phrase. 46 notes. And somehow, they're they hold the whole world. So simple, so pure, like a single candle burning in a dark room. Good night, little listener. May your dreams be filled with music, rushing and peaceful, laughing and weeping, brave and gentle. May you have the courage to choose your own path, even when it's hard. And may you always, always keep creating, right up until the very end. Sleep well. The music will be there when you wake.